Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your soul brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is A.J. Orsini, and I'm here with episode 129. Now, I want to take this time right off the bat here and apologize for my late release. I did not get a chance to get this episode out the night of the usual schedule, which is Saturday at 9 p.m., because I has been on the road. I was traveling around doing stuff, making bookings, making towns, and there's going to be a lot of discussion going on with that. As soon as I get the green light to be able to talk about it, I'm going to do that here on the show and talk to you guys and let you know what's been going on with this newfound run with the wrestling business. But yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Today we've got some other stuff. All right, guys, so episode 129, I am bequeathing it again onto all of you, 129. Yeah, I use the word bequeath. You can hear by the scoffs in the background, I am not alone. Once again, returning to the show, the missus. Mrs. O is in the house today because we've got some shit that we need to discuss, and she's got all the information today.
I don't got no information. I just came prepared.
You come prepared?
Because I did not like what you told me the other day, so I had a...
Yeah, to the point where she had to do actual research, and she decided to be on the show today to clear the air and set the WWE straight on their bullshit, because they're trying to force feed some nonsense. Revisionist history, as some people on the internet are calling it. We're going to have a couple of discussions here, but we're not going to start off with the one that really, of course you're going to start off with that, but we're not going to start off with the conversation that we really got heated about. We're going to talk about some other stuff that other people are heated about.
Look, for all you people out there, we're not starting off with our IHOP conversation.
Yes, okay, IHOP conversations come to life.
This is how we have dinner. Okay, this is dinner conversation, because we weren't at IHOP for breakfast. We were at IHOP for dinner.
So which is normal.
Normal dinner conversation, okay, yeah. Over a turkey platter.
I had the turkey platter.
Yes, and over some mozzarella sticks. with some sirloin tips. Okay, this was our entire
IHOP
dinner conversation.
Stovetop.
And you know what? It's all because of moi.
It's all because of you. You're the one. You're the mover and the shaker in this house.
I am. I am. And something he said stirred me up. And I said, no.
And this is going to be a difficult conversation to have, because this is a heavy topic on he who shall not be named.
Oh, can we?
Well, we're going to save that. We have some other stuff we need to discuss first, because I is pissed. So I needs to get some stuff off my chest here. Okay. For one of the most untalked about, yet talked about all the time in conversations besides Saudi Arabia when it comes to the WWE, is the Hall of Fame. That's one of the most talked about things, in spite of the fact that everyone refuses to talk about it. They all talk about it. The Hall of Fame was a joke. The Hall of Fame is nothing. This is what I hear every day. Hall of Fame is a joke. Hall of Fame is nothing. They'll put anybody in there. Vince's driver is in there. The celebrity wing makes it a joke. Blah, 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 blah. But yet, whenever they seem to make an announcement, it's all anyone can talk about is the damn announcement. So if I'm the WWE, why in the fuck would I stop making these weird-ass announcements? But anyway, everyone's all again stirred up because we got not one but dual women being inducted into the Hall of Fame this class of 2020. The Bella twins, Nikki and Brie Bella, are headed into the Hall of Fame. They're going to get their rings and be a part of forever. And we have to talk about this, because not just for the induction of the Bellas, because quite frankly, I don't give a shit, But this whole conversation, this whole idea that the WWE Hall of Fame was a joke. But when the inductions are people that they like, not really much of a joke then. The rumor going around right now, for instance, as an example, the British Bulldog is being rumored to be announced at some point. They always give you at least one deceased guy, right, along the way, just to kind of get the nostalgia pop in there. And it looks like they're leading.
Plus, a deceased guy can't, you know, say no.
Yeah, deceased guy can't say no. We're looking at you, Macho Man. Yeah, he can't say no this year. We're going to put his ass in and capitalize on the merch. Yeah. So, but this year, the Bellas are going in, and the rumor is the British Bulldog, and everyone, once again, took too long to get here, well deserved, it's about time. Everyone's on board with the Hall of Fame when it's somebody that they choose, but when it's somebody that the WWE chooses, it's a big ordeal, the hypocrisy, yada 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 yada. I wanted to talk about that. Every time I mention the Bellas going into the Hall of Fame, you've got the face right now that people make is that ugh face of them going into the Hall of Fame. Do you think they belong in the Hall of Fame, the Bellas? Objectively speaking.
Okay. Okay. All right. I have a couple of questions in my head.
Okay. Questions.
And I need some reviews. Okay.
Reviews. Okay. We're going to go through the career. Going to break this down.
Stress
right?
has, you know, okay. made me forget some WWE history.
Okay.
Here.
Especially their history. But go ahead.
Who was inducted last year? Refresh my memory.
Who was inducted last year? I'm going to be honest with you. I'd have to look that shit up. Oh, it's right here in front of me. Hold on a
Beth?
Second. You mean as the female inductee
mm-hmm.
or overall?
The
female inductee last year was Tori Wilson.
Tori.
Which was another controversial pick Wilson. Because, my God, the women in this company's history.
But before Tori, it was Beth.
The year before, let's pull that up
I
here.
I think it was Beth.
It was Ivory.
Oh, really?
Which I'm with. That actually wasn't a bad one. I'm good with that. Yeah, how long ago was Beth? Hold on.
Like,
2017 was Beth.
Because I'm just wondering, are they going according to, like, error? Era?
Error?
Era? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are they going
There's
down
no
the
real,
timeline?
No, they're not. There's no real rhythm to this. Like I just said, like last year was Tori, so you figure late 90s there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ivory, but... Also late 90s, but let's be honest, she has a long, like going back to the 80s, so who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Phoenix before that, that's 2000s. And before that, I'm sure they even went farther. They're all over the map. There's no, that's another argument people get. There's, what's the criteria of the Hall of Fame? Vince has to like you. Because everyone will say, oh, there's no real criteria to the Hall of Fame. Yes, there is. Vince has to like you. There's one and only criteria for the Hall of Fame. Vince has to like you. The longer it takes for you to get in, it's because... He either really doesn't want to, but the clamoring for it is so amazing that maybe we can make a buck off this, so fuck it.
Okay.
Because his favorite people get in automatically, their first ballots.
Okay, so I don't like the Bella Twins, and quite
Clearly.
Frankly, it's because...
You're not alone in that thought.
No, probably. but it's because I just don't feel like their careers were strong enough. It's not like they were two strong, independent people who were also good together. They were, I don't know if I'm describing it right. You know,
yeah,
it's not like
okay.
an A-plus student and an A-plus student. They were two mediocre that
two
combined.
Two C-pluses that made at least a B-plus together.
Yeah, like combined they made 100, but, you know, standalone, they were not good enough.
Let me ask you this question. If
you
they're
know,
not fucking Daniel Bryan and John Cena, do they exist in this company at all after their termination? Because they were fired from the WWE. Not too many people going into the Hall of Fame were fired by WWE.
Because
that's the big one on the Bellas. Well, if they weren't fucking the top guys, would they have been around?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think that they did it because a lot of their fans will lead toward their accomplishments. Nikki being one of the longest reigning Diva champions of all time. But that can be broken down. She was a Divas champion in an era that had, what, almost no talent in it.
Exactly.
It was, who'd she beat?
Exactly.
She beat Layla Cool. Michelle McCool every night
on television.
I think
people are
like
upset because there should probably be people before them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Let me. I've heard that one before too. It was like, "Wow, sensational! Sherry's not in there. What is the deal with that?" Or whatever the case may be. Here's why I don't like that part though. I think, and I've gotten this from sports, and maybe it shouldn't transfer over, but that's just how my brain is wired. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. Doesn't matter if you went in 10 years ago or you're going in 10 years down the line. If you've got to, because the credentials don't change. By the time you get to Hall of Fame, the career is usually over. Even in the WWE, I'll give them that.
But still,
they'll put active people
but
in.
But still, the
body of work should speak for itself.
But
I don't,
they don't care. As you said, they don't have a strong body of work because
the Bellas. No, they don't.
Because they were running at a time where there was really nobody to run against.
And to be honest, the one,
and the one stupid line she keeps saying is, "Well, we started the whole women's revolution."
Which
Fuck
is bullshit.
You. No, you didn't. Okay.
You were the reason we needed a revolution.
Okay, exactly.
Not the start of it.
But I think it's people who actually made an impact, actually started creating the cracks.
Right.
You know,
the Bellas,
in the glass ceiling.
The Bellas
Those
saying,
are the people.
Yeah. The Bellas saying you that know, they helped the revolution is a lot like that deadbeat dad who thinks he's a good father because he didn't raise you. I left you with your mom, and I should be thanked for that. like you were the reason that my life was shitty, you idiot. That we needed to redo the entire division just to save face for what you did to it.
Yeah. And okay, so I think there should be
a criteria?
No. I think there's two people who should be in there.
Before them?
Before them.
Females.
Females.
Okay, who's that?
And again, you always say it's based on, you know, if Vince likes you.
Right.
You know, and probably Vince is not gonna like this first person. Because it also dictates where you went afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The Bellas are now all about starting their family. Having children.
Yeah, birdie
being
mode.
Being in relationships.
They're all about birdie mode right now.
Okay, they're not about continuing their wrestling career.
No, they're not.
It's not all
it
about wrestling.
It was never about the wrestling career.
For them.
Yeah.
So, therefore, they haven't tarnished their WWE
reputation. Yeah, their
brand
is their brand. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that, I think, is what kept them in the running. But for the person I'm going to say, probably did tarnish their record by going to another company after WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think Victoria.
That's a good pick.
Should be
but
in.
Before
the Bella Twins.
And she burned bridges. That's why she's not in. If you want a reason why she's not in the Hall of Fame, look back at that lawsuit for the concussion thing. She was on that list.
I know. There's a whole
she sued them. That's
know,
why she's not
I know.
In.
There's a whole list of people, but
everyone on that list sucked. They're not good.
It doesn't even matter because Sable also sued them at one point.
Yeah,
but then they rehired her a year later
because she's Lesnar's cocksleeve.
It doesn't
I mean,
matter.
That's just, plus, Vince has always kind of had a soft spot for Sable.
But I also think Sable should have should go in.
He never had a
Sable
soft spot.
Sable should also go in. Okay.
The only reason I would
again,
say yes on Sable
starting,
is because at least she did it when there was no women around.
She did it during the
Attitude Era.
The Attitude Era.
She was one of their top drawers.
Okay,
as
and Victoria was during the
she was one of their top wrestlers.
Attitude Era too. So I have two Attitude Era.
She
chicks.
Was toward the tail end of the Attitude Era. She's more Ruthless Aggression Era than she is.
Doesn't matter, but those are two great eras anyway that produced
which
a
we'll
lot
talk
of,
about more later.
A lot of
stay
lot
tuned
of good,
on that one. But
good.
Yeah,
but.
The only
think,
thing that
oh,
people
and
give
I have a third person.
Okay. Oh, you have a third person.
I have a third person.
Wait, who was the second?
Okay, wait. Before I digress, but okay.
Victoria, yeah.
Victoria. First of all, Attitude Era.
Okay.
So there was a lot more competition during that time. It wasn't all hunky-dory.
Well, she came in with the Trish and the Lita
exactly.
and the Molly Hollies
and the Jazz. And though the people she went against are already
Hall
of Famers.
Yeah, as a matter
of
fact, those
so
are
So she
Hall of
went
Famers,
against
yeah.
Hall of Famers.
And beat
them. Exactly. And what I think Shave is interesting,
Molly's
too,
head
is that
the garden.
She was also a part of the first. You know, everybody's starting to think that now
when
this women.
When it became a division.
No,
right?
like. All in the everybody's thinking now the women's division we're having the first this, the first that, the first this, the first that. She was in a first before there was first.
Right.
Like these last 2 years have been first everything for women. But she was in the first steel cage.
Absolutely. First steel cage on
exactly.
Monday night with Lita.
Exactly. Before there was a first in every pay-per-view that we have now.
Trish and Lita got the first main event, but Victoria and Lita got the first cage match.
Yes. So I think that's the reason why she should be brought in. And she kept that build up even in the next company she was in. You know
this
what
is
mean?
Why I'm still mad that Trish went
it's not
in
like
before
she just, Lita. It's not. It's like she didn't just stop wrestling afterwards. Right. She continued.
Tara.
Okay.
You can make an argument she was better in TNA than she was in the WWE. She got really good toward the end there.
Now.
Until she blew those knees out.
Now Sable. Sable is one of those people that I'm saying made some cracks.
I can see Cornette's head exploding right now.
No, just saying. Just made some cracks.
Uh-huh.
And you need cracks first.
Her popularity
to
brought
break
the belt back.
The ceiling.
I'll give her that.
What happened?
Her popularity built brought the belt back.
I mean,
so I'll give her that.
She was going through tables before these chicks are going
through
tables.
No, she didn't. Sable didn't go through any damn tables. Are you kidding me? She refused to bump tables. What tables?
Then what am I confusing you with? What, did Jacqueline go through a table?
Jacqueline went through everything.
Okay, so I'm
confusing. But she's in.
Yes, so I'm confusing her with Jacqueline. But she went against Jacqueline.
I thought, is Sable a Hall of Famer? Does she get in?
I don't know. Now, the third person I was thinking, and
we're talking like she's
say,
not in.
And you're probably going to be like, nope, not going to happen till like years later down the road. Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, stop.
Why not? If Triple H can be in the Hall of Fame.
But he's not.
Yes, he is.
DX is in. That's how he
got
in.
So, but he still has a ring.
He does.
Okay.
But he's also now.
She should be
in.
Why not?
No. Here's the thing. I do believe that she should be. I think she's had a Hall of Fame career. I do believe in that based on the storylines that she's been a part of since the start of her career. Yeah. I think she's been a part of some pretty cool stuff. But something about McMahon's going in just rubs me the wrong way.
She should.
Either one, like Shane, Steph, Vince. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't think Vince will ever get in. And if Vince can't get in, Steph can't get in.
Why?
Because, come on. The McMahon's going into their own Hall of Fame.
That's the thing. If you are the reason they should be considered for Hall of Fame is because they do double duty. They're the ones that put themselves as a performer role. If you are a performer at any point in time, you should be considered. They weren't just always behind the scenes. Because they put themselves on camera, they should be considered for Hall of Fame.
Character-wise, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, but even
because
their characters
they put themselves
were,
in. If you were always a CEO, but you were never on camera, you should never be considered for Hall of Fame. But because you put yourself on camera and made yourself a performer.
But was their backstage. Vince was always the owner on camera.
But they still
part
wrestled
owner.
In matches.
That's still management.
But it doesn't matter. They were still performers. As long as you are a performer, you should be considered.
But there's people in the Hall of Fame who aren't performers, including people in production. That's another person that people keep trying to put in. Jim Johnson, the guy who created all those classic themes like Taker and DX and all that other stuff. There's people actually clamoring for non-wrestlers to get in. So I don't know if people are going to support that argument because they're like, wait a second. God damn it.
You just said it, non-wrestlers, but they are wrestlers.
Wrestlers, non-wrestlers, it doesn't matter. People are still from all walks of life trying to get their, quote-unquote, their favorites in. There's people actually still of the belief that Earl Hebner might get in. You know, the referee that was there for a long time. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But Survivor Series 97 will stop that from ever, ever happening. But it shouldn't. Earl did that thing in Survivor Series because Vince asked him. So you would think that the one thing that defines Earl is the one thing Vince told him to do. You think that would not be a reason for him to go into the Hall of Fame. But Brett went in when we all fought Cold Day in Hell, right? Wasn't that the opening to his Hall of Fame speech? Well, I guess Hell froze over or something like that. Well, I guess Hell froze over because he's back. Brett came back. Niggas was hugging on camera. They had a match at WrestleMania. No Earl? Come on, brother. Come on. I can sense it in the air.
But Earl also went to another company.
I don't think that hurts anymore. Mickey James came back. Christian came back. All the people, Jeff Hardy, but Matt Hardy, everybody who went to that so-called company, Kurt, Jeff Jarrett is in the WWE right now. Don't tell me that they can't get in the Hall of Fame because he went to TNA. Mr. TNA is there. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Robert Roode. Almost the whole roster from NXT at one point was all fucking TNA. I don't think they have that big of a problem with TNA at this point. I mean, a lot of their guys are from there now. They've been talking to James Storm to come back.
No, no, no. But those guys are different because it's not like they were in the WWE, went to Impact.
Fair, but they were.
And then came back to
but
WWE.
But they were persona
non grata. Started on Impact and then they came over.
Right, but I just gave you a list of other names that were WWE superstars that left and came back. The Hardys, Christian, Kurt Angle, Rhino. There's
a
long list of guys that went and came back.
And that's money. And that's
Earl's a name, or it was.
Earl's not a name.
Earl was a name in the 80s and 90s. He was. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Was.
80s and 90s.
I would make a strong argument.
That No. You lost your argument right there because you said was, and you said 80s and 90s, not now.
What does that matter? Hall of Fame is a collection of a career. Mm-mm. Not now. Now is irrelevant. There's a lot of guys that aren't wrestling right now who should be in the Hall
of
Fame.
Nobody's thinking about Earl right now.
That's not a qualification for a Hall of Fame, though. There's guys who – people, they put in baseball players from the 40s. No one's thinking about those motherfuckers, but they're a Hall of Famer because of their careers and their numbers. Earl's got the numbers.
What career? What 20 plus, numbers?
He was the head referee for the Major Wrestling Federation for the, for a 20-year span. 20-year span.
And?
Main evented Hogan's, Warriors, WrestleManias. The guy, every main event you saw in those pictures, he's sitting in the background with the stripes on. He might be the greatest referee to ever do it.
No.
Although there might be some NWA people who might agree with that.
I have a better referee.
You have a better wait a second. That's called, like, we call that in the industry, bias. You are biased. Go ahead and share the name of this referee. It's too good a name. I always forever. He'll always be Lil Nate to me, son. He'll always be Lil Nate.
But again, he was put on camera for a little bit. They used him as more than a ref for a little bit.
In WCW, WWE never did that. They did the opposite. Not only did they not put him on camera, they put his ass on ring crew. He's been ring crew for the WWE since WCW collapsed. So they reversed it. They didn't. Not only did they not use him in a high situation like WCW was using, they demoted him down. He barely refs anymore. He's almost just ring crew at this point. Because the only time you ever see Charles Robinson put on the ref shirt is like legend matches. Like people who like respect him from back in the day. Like Taker matches and Edge has used. We're probably going to see him a lot more now with, hey, you in the background. Shut up. So anyway, yeah, my son's in the back playing with his iPad and it's getting me bothered over here. So we have other members of the Hall of Fame going in here in 2020. Bautista will be heading this class. You didn't know this. Look at this. He's the head of this class. He's our main eventer going in. Bautista and more controversy with the NWO going in as a group. Hogan, Nash, Hall, and Six. And that's the problem. No one has a problem with Hogan, Hall, and Nash. Obviously, they're the core members, the first three. But what messes the WWE up is like, well, there was a fourth member. It was Six. And that's not true because Six was Six. That's why his name was Six, because he was the sixth member of the NWO. It went Hogan, Nash, Hall, followed by manager Ted DiBiase and the Giant, a.k.a. the Big Show. He was five. Followed by Sean Waltman, X-Pac, otherwise known as Six. That's why they named him Six, because he was the sixth member of the NWO. Obviously, they're not going to put Show in with the NWO for the NWO. For those of you who don't know, yes, he was a member of the NWO. But the minute WCW collapsed, you couldn't pay Big Show enough money to stop talking shit about the NWO almost on a daily basis when WCW ended. He shat on Hall and Nash and Hogan for so long. No way that gets in. Ted DiBiase would be nice as a part of the group for a Hall of Fame, but his son, and actually both of his sons, now that I think about it, are kind of in legal hell right now over some, you know, $1, $2 million fraud case going down there in the state of Alabama. So, no DiBiase on this one. So, they went to the safest bet, former drug addict and best friend Sean Waltman and X-Pac. So, that's the other member coming into the Hall of Fame there. Now, X-Pac's going to get two rings as opposed to some of these great performers throughout the years who only had the luxury of getting the one. We're getting to a point now in the Hall of Fame where one ring's not enough. We got two-time winners, three-time winners coming in here. I mean, we're going to start having championship. They're going to start looking like Jordan with all these rings here. Flair went in as a horseman and as himself. Hogan now goes in as himself and now as a member of the NWO. Triple H went in as a member of DX, but you know he's going to go in at some point on his own. Shawn Michaels is a two-time guy. We're getting to two-time, three-time winners here. We're gonna have to start putting in tag teams just to get the numbers up. Edge is in by himself, but you know Edge and Christian should be in there. That's an obvious one.
I'm not happy about this.
You're not happy what? NWO, but yeah. All of it, right? Well, Batista, NWO, or Bellas?
Well, first of all, I was never a Hulk Hogan fan.
Okay, fair enough.
So I wasn't.
I wasn't either.
A fan when he was face, or when he was his semi-heel. I don't give a shit about either of them because I respect wrestling, and I grew up with wrestling. Well, or knows how to wrestle. I don't know. I fucking
he
hate
can
him.
Wrestle.
He can't fucking wrestle.
He can wrestle.
He can't. Fucking
I always
wrestle.
Tell people that you got to go to. If you watch his Japanese matches, you're like, oh shit, he just didn't do it here. Didn't need to do it here. American fans are simple.
Batista, I think the only reason why he's in is because of his goddamn movies.
No.
Yes.
Come on. If he didn't do movies, his career wasn't enough to go in the Hall of Fame. You're crazy.
I fucking hate Batista, too.
But this isn't about like or hate. This is about what he deserves.
No, he don't deserve shit either.
He's got the credentials.
I don't give a shit about his credentials. He was rolling with Triple H.
So?
Okay?
What does that matter?
Which is, you see, another reason why I give him that.
We might as well switch
Triple
over
H,
to that
no,
now.
No, no, because Triple H gave him the rub. Gave him the rub. Okay?
We might as well switch over to that now.
Next year, are we going to say Randy Orton? The whole Evolution crew is going to get rings?
Because they should. Evolution should go. Oh, that would make Flair the three-time if Evolution goes in. And they should. Evolution should get in.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait. The more we talk about this, I can't wait. First of all, this is a.
So who are they missing? So they have.
They need a dead guy.
They have a male.
They have the lead male.
They have a female.
They got a group.
They have a group.
They don't have a celebrity yet. They don't have a dead person yet. They need a warrior award person. Someone in a wheelchair or something. Whoever they want to parade out there for extra bucks.
You know,
maybe they'll go deep this year and get like a trifecta, like a cancer, paraplegic, I don't know, autistic kid to come out there.
Celebrity.
Make you guys
who do you
cry.
Think should be the celebrity?
Who should be the celebrity? I don't give a fuck who should be the celebrity.
What about that?
Fucking hell. It could be literally anybody. Who gives a shit?
It should be Ronda Rousey.
That's the celebrity? That's hilarious.
Because she came in.
Bitch, I don't care what you did for this year. You're a celebrity.
Yeah, she was the MMA person. That's it.
The MMA chick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone wants to see Becky.
See, I said
Ronda.
Person. I kept it neutral. You like chick.
Nah, she's a chick. She's got a vagina. She's got breasts. She's a girl.
And so, then the dead person, we're saying British Bulldog. Rumor.
Well, that's been one of the rumors. People are still throwing names like Vader out there. And then we'll see.
Vader?
We'll see. Oh, no, yeah, Vader. Vader should have been in. Vader should have been in. That's an easy one. That's an open shut case, Johnson.
Well, Bulldog, he was related to...
the Hearts. Owen.
The Hearts. Right? And because now him...
I see Bulldog get it. If Bulldog gets in, it's because they're trying to get ahead of that pipe bomb that Martha's about to drop on that fucking documentary. The fucking, Dark Side of the Ring or whatever? They got Martha Hart coming in there about to shoot the ill heel promo on WWE.
But also, Bret Hart got cancer. So why not?
Is that official? Like, did he
got cancer.
I thought that was just rumor. Really.
Oh, I thought he had cancer. So why not have him come out and do a whole speech and blah blah blah? He could do double duty.
Bret's not coming
also,
back to the Hall of Fame after getting speared by that asshole.
Also
the
give
other day.
The Warrior Award also.
Oh my God! Just compile it all in for time purposes.
For real.
Bret's never coming back to the Hall of Fame.
Or Natalya, they have somebody built in to kind of give a speech.
So Natalya is just gonna fucking induct all her family members.
She is.
All the time. Ever, forever until the end of time.
Exactly. So
is that her only purpose on this card at this point?
Yeah.
Because that's the rumor going into WrestleMania. We're maybe looking at
Natalya. And I hope that when somebody finally inducts her, they call her Grandma Natty.
Oh God.
They need to.
Cat Lady.
They need to. She is.
Wow, Cat Lady.
She's Starfire.
Let's transition into our other IHOP. She's Starfire. She is the cat. The lady of the cats. Our other IHOP conversation that we had.
Okay.
This one's going to take some time to explain.
No, it's not going to take some time. Okay. So I had been looking through the internet, and I see headlines all the time, you know, on different websites. And there was one talking about different eras. And there was one era, ruthless aggression, and for some reason, I had not heard of that. And I was like, there's more than one era? I was like, I've heard of the PG era, attitude era. I was like, there were other eras. So that started the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard of ruthless aggression. I've heard that phrase, but I didn't know it was a whole era in of itself. Then you hit me with the current era, which that pissed me off.
The reality era.
The reality era. And
I don't make this shit up.
And then I said, okay, well, I said, let's discuss this. I was like, let's discuss each era, and who do you think would be the top person in each era?
Right.
So we started out with the classic.
We went as far back as the golden years.
Oh, golden years. Sorry, golden years. And you said,
which I would probably list at from about 80, we'll say WrestleMania time, so about 80. Because I didn't want to go back into the Backlunds and the San Martinos. So we'll about 85, about WrestleMania, we'll say to about 90, we'll say. About 90, right? About a five-year period there. And do you want me to say the name that
I said?
All right. So the person that I thought, it's clear number one for that era, Hulk Hogan. Right? Mm-hmm. That was a clear number one to me.
And then we said if we had to choose a number two,
probably would have been the Macho Man.
Would have been the Macho. And for all those people who like to input their likes, they would have gone, oh, no, definitely Macho, because they like Macho over
right, that's
Hulk.
What that was the argument I made for Hogan. It's like if you don't pick Hogan for that era, you're picking your favorite, or you're picking one that you like or don't like.
And it's
going to
be Macho.
You're not picking the obvious one.
It's going to be Macho.
And it probably would be Macho, right.
Now, the next era is...
Oh, yeah. So after that, I think I said, 91 till about, I'll say 95, maybe 96,
uh-huh.
like bleeds into.
Uh-huh.
But that was the new generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the name that I had picked
mm-hmm.
was Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought.
Because this one has a really strong number.
I know. And the person that I was thinking about when you say that, I was thinking of.
Shawn Michaels. Right.
And again, he would be a close second for all those
very close.
Who would
I
choose
can hear
their
an
favorite.
About that one.
You know, again, it'll be those people, no, I don't think so. You know, I won. Yeah. So
Shawn was having great matches during that era, but Bret was the one on the main event.
Yes. So, I mean, like, I was always one step behind Anthony's pick. Orsini's pick.
Yeah, you do that every time. It's all right. You have sex with me, so it's cool. But we
then the next era
mm-hmm.
after that is
next era after that. Like again, it bleeds 96, whatever. But we'll say 90 late 96 to about toward the end of 2001. That is the Attitude Era.
Okay, and
now that one also has a very strong 1-2 punch.
All right, who
this
did you
is
say?
Where the argument is that if you don't pick anything other than this person, then you're picking the one that you liked, not the true number one.
Okay,
Stone Cold Steve Austin was the number one man of that era.
I agreed.
Right, but
I agreed with
it
that.
It did
one.
Have a very strong number two.
Who did you think was strong number two?
The Rock.
I don't. I know. No.
Okay.
No.
Why?
No.
Who else?
I had no strong second. I agreed with.
Oh, Stone! You think Stone Cold was the far and away? That's
yes,
it?
There was no, there was no close second.
Rock's up there.
No.
As a matter of fact,
no.
I think it was Hogan that said that if Rock had played, so to speak, quote unquote, in any other era, he would have been number one. But because he played in the era of Jordan, no rings for him.
Oh, that brings up a good point right now. Would you consider Stone Cold a top face or a top heel during that time?
Oh, top face. His heel run was. Failure, and then the heel run came out toward the end when they were trying to refresh, and it didn't work. That's why they moved him immediately back to a babyface. He's an anti-hero. It's the only way that his character works.
Okay.
He was so good at it, he fucked up wrestling forever right after it. I don't know if you were here for that conversation we had on the show, but Austin's babyface run was so fantastic and done so differently from everything else that it ruined every babyface after that. But yeah, Stone Cold's clearly number one.
And then what became really controversial was this whole ruthless
Okay, right. So the reason why this even came up at all was
because
of this era.
Because you said, oh, they're doing a documentary series, right. And they named Blank as
Blank.
The top person for ruthless aggression.
They hinted at it very, very
and
strongly.
And my first reaction is bullshit.
Now, originally, I think you said bullshit because you
I just don't like the guy.
No,
no.
But you started backing it up.
No, no. It's not that. It's, okay, first of all, if I just went on the fact that I didn't like this guy, I wouldn't have said that he would have been a top guy for another era. I did say that this was the wrong era he should have been the top guy for. He should have been the top guy.
Wrong era.
He is the top guy
for the other one.
For PG era.
The 08 to 2013.
Okay, that is that's his top. That is his era. So it's not that I just hate him. I have to give him some type of props
for the other era
where it belongs. It was the other
the PG era 08 to 2013.
Okay? But for this one, it was completely wrong. First of all, when you think ruthless aggression, I do not think of him, of his goody two-shoes.
And he agrees with you. If you
persona.
Watch that documentary, he states he failed in the beginning of that era.
Okay. I when I think ruthless aggression, I think of doing whatever it takes to get to the top, to maintain yourself at the top, and when you lose
bring
it,
others up to the top.
You go back to the top.
Yeah.
No
you
matter
stay
what.
On top
if
the whole
you stay
time.
On the top and if you lose it, you're just griping your way to get back no matter what. And so the person that we had been discussing, okay,
which is gonna piss people off, but
was Triple H.
That was the one that came up.
Okay.
Because when you start looking at those years.
So Triple H. So again, I had to do my research because I don't like to say anything without backing it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we both realized that he who shall not be named, you can't see me, don't want to see him.
No longer seeing him.
Yeah, no longer seeing him. he wasn't anything.
He debuted
anything
in 02.
Worth noting until the last 2 years of ruthless aggression. Like maybe two or three years.
Two or three years.
About 05 to 08. But
about
that. But again, if you are going to
and
be
even
the top,
05 is like.
But the first thing kinda. That they got me is that if you are going to be considered a top person in a whole era, it has to be for the entire time period.
To start
it can't,
to finish.
From start to finish. It
start
can't be the
finish.
First two or three years he
yeah,
was hot.
Start to finish.
It can't be the last two or three years he was hot. Has to be the entire time he
yep.
was hot.
Yep.
That means he was put in many main events, won many in championships, was in the best storylines. Okay.
Took up
all the TV time with
raw,
the most memorable,
raw,
most talked about. And even if he was hurt, people were still talking about him, where when he came back, it was a seamless transition back,
right back
into
to the
things.
Top.
Right back to the top. And Triple H was the one because
Triple
he
H.
came into 02 winning the Royal Rumble. Then he followed that up with winning the Undisputed WWF Championship in WrestleMania 18. He had the top storyline with Stephanie McMahon. You know, ending kind of their marriage, starting with the pregnancy, ending with the divorce. Everybody was surrounded with that whole storyline. He won the World Heavyweight Championship. Then the most talked about what the fuck moments was the necrophilia with Kane. Okay, groping up the coffin.
Katie Vick.
He unified two titles. And this is just all in 02, 03. Okay, just the first 2 years back. Okay.
Right, yeah.
He was in three stages of hell, which I when I think ruthless aggression, and I feel like somebody clawing their way to the top.
Stages of hell, 2001.
No.
Three
that was
stages?
After he unified
oh,
two
that was
titles.
The, Yeah.
So I mean, that's what I think. That three stages of hell. He went through all those stages. You need to have ruthless aggression to do that. You need
asshole.
To embody that.
There was a strong argument
then,
during that year, in particular. That he might have been one of the greatest heels of all time.
That's the thing. See,
there were
greatest
a lot
heels.
Of people. They were like, he might be the best heel.
Great, greatest
that ever
heel.
Did it.
But when you think ruthless aggression, I don't think a period for a baby face. When I think ruthless aggression,
right.
I'm thinking that is a time period for a top heel. A heel has to embody a ruthless aggression.
Ruthless. aggression. Okay?
And he followed that by creating a stable. John Cena can't pull off a fucking stable to save his goddamn life. Okay? Then he won the World Heavyweight Championship now, again in 2008. Bad. Had the Reign of Terror. Again, Reign of Terror. You need to have ruthless aggression.
To give that belt out.
To have a Reign of
Terror. You don't even have notes for 2004. Okay? That's how stranglehold he had on.
For 280 days. I mean, he kind of.
No notes for 2004.
He lost it. He gained it back. He lost it. He gained it back. I mean,
Didn't matter who touched him, he had it right back.
He had the gold all the way until 2005. You were even looking it up. 9 out of the 14 times he won the championship was during the ruthless aggression
yes,
period.
Absolutely.
Okay? And then he ends it.
I didn't even
with
know
D-Generation Reunion. So he made a tag team group that had kind of hadn't been mentioned for a while back in the limelight again after a stable. Everything he touched was turning to gold.
Gold.
Okay?
Well, not all of it. There were a few balls instead of strikes.
But I mean,
he was still on top the whole time.
The entire time from 02 to 08.
I think you made the example that, because remember we said in the documentary that they were building up John. He failed in 02, started picking up some momentum in 03, 04. The Thugonomics thing got hot in 05. Bam, he's off with the championship. But they did not, even with the belt in 05, within the locker room, they didn't see him as the top guy until WrestleMania 22 in 06 when he wrestled who?
Triple H.
That was the match where people said, okay, he's for real.
Yeah.
That match was so good, they wanted to do it the next year. He was supposed to wrestle Triple H back-to-back to WrestleMania 23, but he didn't because he tore his quad in January and they audibled him out and put Shawn Michaels in instead. So if you're looking for a name, that was the name that shocked me.
Yeah, and I was like,
I didn't really think about
it
that way.
We were also talking about, you know, that John Cena went against really good people.
Yeah.
I mean, people that had built their name and were literally rubbing him until he went up to someone who was also trying to get the rub, and that was the true test. If two people, if the rub was good enough from these prior people to go against each other. So he had the rub from JBL. He had the rub from Guerrero. And it's like, okay, Edge. Now he's going to go against Edge. Is also trying to get the rub from people. So now let's see if the rubs are working. Let's see if John Cena and Edge can go against each other and have a good program.
Yeah.
And they did. But again, as you and you said this perfectly, he had all these programs were heel led. You know, he was not.
I really
not,
feel like those
he was not
were
leading.
Heel-led.
Yeah, he was not
went
leading
out of
this
their way to make sure he looked like Superman. By
exactly,
the end
they made him look like Superman. Yeah. He did not make himself look like Superman. So he is not the top face. He was only the top face because they let him.
I think what
okay, they were so good at being the heels, they let him be top face.
I think what the argument that helps prove the point that maybe Cena was more for PG than he was for Ruthless Aggression is if you look at Cena's career from 08 to 013, he was unfucking touchable.
Yes.
On top. Every belt.
Every belt.
Every year.
It's like, I have a belt. I have a purple shirt now. Nah. I have another belt. I have a green shirt. I have another belt. I have a blue shirt. And they all sold. He was a rainbow champion.
That was the decade of the era of the shirts.
Okay.
Your bright red purple shirt. Your bright yellow shirt. Your bright green shirt.
I mean, and that's when you started getting
he was
all
on
the
top
kids.
With everybody like Triple H was
kids,
ruthless. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The women.
That
all
was the
that.
Era that changed everything.
He got those people. Those people were not in the Ruthless Aggression.
And
it was adult men. He did not have the adult men. He did not have the adult men.
But he understood that.
Okay.
In the documentary, it states, John Cena said it himself, around that time period, or 07, 08, when they were really cooking, getting ready to go into this little shift, he spearheaded the shift. I saw the shift coming. I didn't need a note to know that we were getting more kids than we were doing this. So he started focusing on the kids.
I know.
That was for good or for bad. He said it himself, for better or for worse.
I think.
He knew he was going to take the slugs and arrows for it because the real wrestling fans were going to dig it. Here's the guy who's following Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's for the kids.
And this is the first documentary series, right?
Concerning this era. Yeah, this is actually the first time they're talking about this.
They're talking about this era.
About this era.
And then they're going to follow it up.
They're only two episodes in. There's more to go.
I know.
We're going to be talking about this.
But again, I feel like the only reason why maybe they didn't name Triple H is because they didn't want to make it appear as if Triple H is up his own ass right now. CEO, right. Of course he would name himself the top person during that era.
Or maybe they're saving his ass for last. Because in the very first episode, there's only been two. The Cena episode was second. The first one was literally just
a recap.
How many
episodes is this?
I don't know. Other shows that they've done has gone up to about 8 or 9. So maybe just a few more. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was a very basic overview of what they meant by the Ruthless Aggression era. So it talked about the Attitude Era, but it talked about the end of it, right? Here's the Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's on his way out. It talked about the scenario with him and Lesnar and going home. Rock's getting that Hollywood bug. They're losing their top stars. How did we survive after losing two of the greatest stars of all time? Here's the story. Like, that was episode one. But in episode one, all the top stars from that era, both Ruthless Aggression or Attitude, if you were in the building during that transition, all of the performers gave a lot of credit to The Undertaker for sticking around and working as hard as he did, and to Triple H for carrying the ball for as long as he did as well.
He carried the ball.
He carried, if you look at the numbers,
now, I'll give it to you. John
shows,
Cena did push him forward into the next era, which
right.
is how they got most of their money and survived.
That's, yeah.
Because he did bring in the women and the children.
But the ones
and
who
that's
took
what
the
really
bullets
brought
from Attitude Era to Ruthless
exactly.
Aggression was Triple H and The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
More so Triple H because Taker wasn't on top.
He was the front line.
Taker
was
underneath. He was helping mid-card over on SmackDown. Triple H was on top.
Do you remember that movie where the guy went up top and he was a medic and he was saving everybody and he was like, please God, just let me save one more. That was Triple H. Please God, let me just push one more person. Please God, let me just push one more person. Please God, let me just push one more. Yes. He was just like,
please,
come on.
Please, dear God, let me just save one more.
One more. One more. Just one more year.
First of all,
just one more year. Just one more year. Okay? And that's what he did.
Just one more year.
Just one more year. Let me just push it one more year. One more year. And then he finally said, okay, This is going
to
be the era of Cena.
Yeah.
And that's
needed to go back to the baby face.
And that's the era where I vomited the most.
This is the reason why Triple H pulled off the Reign of Terror. Because if you listen to him tell the story, that's exactly what happened. He said, in his own words, in his documentary, not the Ruthless Aggression one, but he said this during My Time? I forgot what it was. He stated, anybody that would have followed Steve was dead in the water. And he's right, because Steve fucked up babyfaces forever. We could never get another white meat babyface ever again, thanks to Stone Cold Steve Austin and his portrayal of the anti-hero. No babyface will ever match up to that, ever. It's fucked, right? We have to find a new way to do this. So in Triple H's word, the only logical step after an anti-hero of that nature was a badass bad guy. He said we needed to build a bad guy that was so bad that it seemed almost impossible any baby face could beat him. That way, when we built the right baby face and it was time for him to slay this dragon, he would be seen as the ultimate baby face because he slayed the one dragon no one else could. So he goes, so I ran for a year trying my damnedest to be the biggest asshole on the planet so that whoever it was on that following Mania was going to come out and take that spot and beat me and be like the greatest baby face, like probably of all time, blah, blah, blah. And of course, because it worked out the way that it did, he goes, and he said, Triple H said, we didn't know it was going to be Cena. And Cena said it, and Triple H said it. Triple H hated Cena's guts, hated him, didn't think he could work, didn't think he had a good look, didn't like him at all. Triple H said, for all the people who go out on these shoot interviews and go on radio shows and talk all this shit about how I buried them and how I politic them out of the business and all that. So he goes, 90% of that shit is bullshit. But Cena has a legit gripe because I did try to fuck him. I did try to hold him down. I did try to fucking politic him out of the company. I didn't fucking like him, but he fought back. Everything that I sent to him, he fought back, and he made his way to the top, and he proved over time that he could be a babyface for this company. So when it was time at WrestleMania, here's the big bad heel now on top. Here comes the babyface champion. He needs to overcome the big bad heel in order to be the face of the company, and that's the way that it worked out. But again, I think personally that story is bullshit. I think he wanted to be on top because he wrestled in the era of Jordan. He wrestled in the era of Steve, and there was no Rock around, so I'm sure he looked at that, salivating, drooling out of his mouth, and said, finally,
it's
my time.
And it was his time, but he's not giving himself credit for it.
But they did book it, when you really think about it, over the long term. Look back at the beginning of that Ruthless Aggression era when Vince did that whole speech. I'm looking for ruthless aggression. Who among you will be the next legend? And the person who actually answered that call wasn't ringside because Cena wasn't a part of the main roster yet. He was in the back. But he told the story. He goes, I heard the speech. I was in the building. I heard it. And I thought, why not me? But no one at that time in 02 legitimately thought he would be that guy.
Yeah, but he is
that
guy.
So Triple H ran and ran and ran with the ball. It's his Triple H's time.
That also raised the question of can a heel be a top guy? And I think nowadays, heels can be top guys.
I have to agree with that because heels are seen differently now.
Yes.
People cheer the heels now.
Wasn't it like a couple of years ago where they were promoting Seth Rollins as the top guy, but he was a heel?
He was with the Authority.
Exactly.
Right.
Triple H
was using his old formula. We're going to push him on top the entire time. He's going to run through everybody. And eventually, when we're going to get him to WrestleMania, he's going to put over that next babyface. It turns out not to work out that way. See, with Triple H, it worked out because he forced the issue. A lot of people will say, well, Seth Rollins failed at it because that was when he got the injury and he didn't make it to Mania that year. He had that big push as the champion and he never got the chance to go to Mania because he got injured. That's when he blew his knee out wrestling Kane or whatever. And he was like, well, Triple H used his formula. It didn't work with Seth because Seth couldn't hold up. Bullshit, folks. Go back to the tape. Triple H injured the same fucking leg that Seth injured. But he spent the latter part of that term, though you brought it up, when he dropped the belt to Goldberg toward the end there at the Elimination Chamber and then eventually got the belt back from him at Armageddon. If you watch the videotape, ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice something very interesting about Triple H during that time period. He's got a taped up leg. You know why? He hurt his knee. Same as Seth Rollins. You know what the difference was? They let Triple H rock. Because in that decade, that era, you could wrestle hurt. No one gave a fuck. Now, with lawsuits and medical staffs, they wouldn't let Seth Rollins get back in the ring. If you'd let Seth Rollins wrestle, he would have wrestled. Because with a broken leg, Seth Rollins can still go out there and put at least 4 stars on the map. But we're in a different era now. We're in the NFL era. They won't let them go out there and wrestle.
This is the reality era.
The reality
era. But again, I don't think it should be the reality era. Error. I think that has
error.
It
is an error.
That era, I think, should have ended a couple of years ago. I mean, a lot of this reality stuff has kind of slowed down a bit.
It might
have,
for all we
shows.
Know, because
this era. How long has NXT been out? At least like 4 years now.
As a brand itself, as a show. Not the USA Network. I mean, like, since, like, it became, like, a thing on the network or whatever.
Yes, yes. About 4 years
like
now.
Not, like, the contest with the barrels and shit.
Yes.
You mean, like, a show.
Yeah. About 4 years now.
Longer.
Five? So
about five.
I feel like for the last 5 years,
NXT era.
No. It is the independent.
The indie era.
That's what I'm hashtagging it. I'm quoting it. Yeah. That it's the indie era because now everybody is heavily focused on who is promoting themselves
in the indies. Yeah.
Who is creating them?
My only problem with calling it the indie era is that it gives the impression to casuals that
everybody's
the indies
trying to
is actually good.
No. There's no. It's because there's just more, quote unquote, like more wrestling in the indies. You know what I mean? They see more wrestling done.
The indie scene right now in the United States is not nearly as good as people would have you believe. It isn't. It's filled with a lot of garbage, and there's a lot of exceptions in it.
But they have done a good job of picking
the right
best
people, right?
Garbage. And that's okay. You can pick
the best garbage. It dusted off. I found this nice couch over on the side. You know? Still functional. We just got to wipe it down a little bit, polish it up real good.
And then
we can put it in the house.
I'm
in the indies, so it's hard for me to say that, but I'm just being honest. I go to a lot of shows that are not good.
I know, but they're picking the best indies. But I would consider.
Uh-oh. What would you consider?
Again? You're kind of laughing at me. If it's not the WWE... Because I don't see anybody as equal to the WWE.
No, no one is.
There isn't. No. So to me, I think
not even close.
I think everybody else is the indies. If you're not,
No. I have that debate online all the time too. So, that's not the definition of an indie.
Impact is growing to be more and more indie. AEW is, even though they're on TNT, they're run and look like a WWE wannabe indie company. Though.
They're all owned by LLCs. Indie companies fund themselves. They're not being funded by themselves.
No, the look and the style.
I know what you mean by that. But they're not actually independent companies.
Like, it doesn't matter if a small mom and pop shop did like a Hobo Chic, but if Macy's or Calvin Klein did a Hobo Chic, you know what
that's
mean?
The problem I
it,
have
it
with
look
AEW.
Better.
AEW
you know what I mean?
Looks like
it's
a kiosk
still the same style. It's still got the same style, just one is more expensive than the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the problem I have with AEW. AEW looks like a kiosk in the mall. It's like you ever seen like the kiosk, like a real popular kiosk where there's a bunch of people, the cell phone thing with the shirts and stuff. And you're looking at all these different things, but you're in this big wide open space. Whenever AEW does these shows in these big buildings, I'm like, dude, like it doesn't even fit, because you got this big building, big budget presentation. You've got pyro, you've got smoke, you got all this stuff, and then you got all these guys coming up that are like, they're not visually, they're not aesthetically, they're not physically ready to be on this stage. You know, they're not built for this. There's a lot of guys, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of guys in AEW that are just not built for that particular performance. Cody Rhodes is the top star in that company. And he's being booked like it too. Did you see that freaking entrance before the cage match? It was like he was at WrestleMania and he was about to wrestle a guy who's debuting. Jesus Christ.
But anyway, that was what we were talking about
as far as the era goes.
That's how I would name the era. But that's just
me. You would put him
personally.
In the PG era instead of the
ruthless aggression era.
I know, Poppy. Don't worry about it. We're all set. We're at the end of this anyway. We're literally at the hour here. So, these were our IHOP conversations.
This is normal, everyday dinner conversations between me and the husband. You know that, you know. Like, honestly, you fans every day listen once a week. I have this about 5 times a week. Okay?
We're going to have it when this thing is over in the car, probably.
Exactly. you know. So, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. So, we have these are the IHOP conversations that I had with my wife here. Next week, I have another guest coming on the show. This whole call-in thing is working out really, really good, by the way. So I'm going to have a buddy call in tomorrow, because we've got some more crap that we need to discuss with each other. As a matter of fact, we're probably going to do a little bit more of the Hall of Fame, because he's pissing me off about this whole demolition thing. I'm done. I've had it. We're going to go at it. We're going to debate the merits of this conversation this time next week, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. So we're going to get the hell out of here. We got places we need to go. So thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 129.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.